الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وعن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت من نجات؟ قال أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, whenever it is season time, wherever it may be, whichever place it may be, then everybody is very much alert, heightened. If it is season time in business, then a person is all the time concerned that he must make the maximum. He's checking on his stocks all the time. He is forever giving his staff a pep talk that if you meet the target, then there's so much bonus also. So in any case, whenever there's a season of something or the other, then a person goes in high mode. The month of Ramadan is also season. It is season time to earn the maximum in terms of reward and thawab. But it is not restricted to that. The thawab and reward we are well aware of, where every nafil action a person performs in this Mubarak month, he gets a reward of one farz action. Every farz action is multiplied 70 times. And just in passing, to understand this in context, what does this mean? That one nafil is multiplied to a farz. So if you take, for example, a person who say for 80 years of his life never missed one tahajjud salah. 8 years, one tahajjud salah he didn't miss, which is a very great ibadat. And especially in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, this is something very easy for us to achieve. We wake up for sahri, that is the time for tahajjud. So, few rakats, 4 rakats, or even just 2 rakats also with the niyat of tahajjud. Such great benefits. This is a means of a person's status being raised. مُكَفِّرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ. It is a means of his sins being forgiven. وَمَنْ هَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ. Tahajjud salah is a means of safeguarding a person from sins. Like a person going out in some very dangerous place. So he wants to wear his bulletproof jacket also, as a protection. So tahajjud salah is a means of protection from sins. It's that bulletproof jacket against the bullets of sins. So this very great ibadat is so easy in the month of Ramadan. We're all waking up for sahri at that time. It's tahajjud time. And it is that special time when Allah Ta'ala Himself is asking us to ask. Where in the last 1/3 of the night, Allah Ta'ala Himself calls out, Hal min mustaghfirin fa'aghfir lah. Is there anybody seeking forgiveness? I may forgive him. Hal min mustarziqin fa'arzuqa. Is there anybody seeking sustenance? Imagine Allah Ta'ala is asking. Razzaq is asking that do you want it? But Abdul Razzaq, that means any one of us, not anybody in particular whose name might be that. We are all Abdul Razzaq, we are all the servants and the slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At that time Abdul Razzaq is not asking. But Razzaq himself is extending that invitation to ask that Hal min mustarziqin fa arzuqa. Is there anybody seeking sustenance? I may grant it to him. Hal min mubtalan fa u'afiya. Is there anybody in some problem, some difficulty, and he wants to gain deliverance from that, he wants to gain his solution. So is there anybody asking for it? I may grant it to him. So this is that special time of dua. So, now we are talking about a person for 8 years of his life. In any case, this great ibadat of tahajjud in the month of Ramadan, at least we should try to take the maximum benefit. And in other times, if we can't wake up at that time, then at least after Isha, before Witr, perform two rakats with the niyat of Qiyamul Layl. Inshallah, in that too we'll get the first level. Maybe we won't get the top level, but the basic level, the entry level of Tahajjud, will get the sawab, inshallah. And we'll get the benefits too, inshallah. So nevertheless, a person 80 years of his life never missed one Tahajjud. Can we imagine what a great thing he has done? But that 80 years of Tahajjud cannot equal the reward of one farz of Fajr that he performed. One farz of Fajr, farz is nevertheless farz, as great as the reward of that nafil is. But it can't reach the reward of a farz. And in this Mubarak month, Allah Ta'ala is granting us on every nafil the reward of one farz. So this is a time to reap the maximum in terms of the reward. But the month of Ramadan is not restricted to that. The month of Ramadan is beyond that. That is the bonus Allah Ta'ala is giving us in this Mubarak month. What is this Mubarak month for? So the ayat of the Quran Sharif that we have heard over and over again, and which even every non-hafiz is a hafiz of, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you who believe, this fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you acquire taqwa. Now, what is this taqwa all about? So this has been explained in various ways. And we have repeatedly heard the explanation of taqwa. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, he explains it in a very unique way. He says taqwa is actually rectifying our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Taqwa is rectifying our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And any person is well aware what a relationship means. The husband says that, well, when he got married, all he committed himself was roti, kapra, makan, that's all. So he's giving basic dal roti every day. And he's got a 2x2 house. He can afford more, but he's giving just, he says, well, this is what I committed myself to. And basic, very, very shabby clothing is provided. He says, well, I've done my duty. So maybe technically he might get away that he done his duty, but is this any relationship? The relationship demands something else. Relationship sometimes, Allah forbid, when the relationship is not within control, then the person wants to do even more than he can afford. Then he sometimes does haram to maintain a relationship also, which is totally impermissible. And Allah forbid again, that many a person knows what a relationship means in a haram relationship. He's going out of his way to foster that relationship, to enhance that relationship. So with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is it just a very dry contact that we have? We come, we perform our salah and feel, bas, we did our duty. And then we do as we wish and do as we please. No, there's a ta'alluq, there's a relationship between the banda and his khuda. There's a link between the servant and his creator. There's that muhabbat that is existing in the heart of the mu'min for his Rabb. And the month of Ramadan has come to enhance this. This taqwa, both things are included in it. One is to exert ourselves in ibadat, and also to learn to control ourselves, to restrict ourselves, refrain ourselves from whatever Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. Both these things are necessary. The noor of ibadat also, and the breaks of taqwa. One person was riding one bicycle at night, and he didn't have any light on. So as he was riding, the police saw him from a distance, so he told him, stop, you don't have any lights. So this fellow, while riding the bicycle, he shouted and said, you get out of the way, I don't even have brakes also. Now can we imagine a person doesn't even have lights and doesn't even have brakes? Where he'll end up? He'll destroy himself, and he might destroy others in the process also. The month of Ramadan has come to give us the noor of ibadat as well. But it has also come, like a person sends his car every now and then for the service, to service the brake lining as well, and the brake pads are all in order, to get his brakes in good condition again. The month of Ramadan has come to service our brake lining as well. The person now, during the day of Ramadan, he's fasting. It is the time of the fast, iftar hasn't come yet. All the delicious foods are laid out in front of him, and he's hungry and thirsty as well, but he doesn't stretch his hand forward. That is the breaks. He's been taught this breaks must last the whole year. This break must last with you in everything that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. This break must be applicable and must be used even on the road as well. When the person is walking on the street, and now he is tempted to look at some haram, at some woman, now that ayat of the Quran Sharif will come, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men, they must lower their gazes. So now that breaks will apply there as well. So this Ramadan, where he was refrained from halal food and drink, during the time of the fast, this trained him to refrain from everything haram all the time. So on the one hand, the noor of the ibadat, the other side, the breaks of refraining from all the things Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. So this is the taqwa all about, that a person gains both these things and enhances this relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That where this eagerness is there now to obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's every command, when a person has some love for something, then that love propels him. He doesn't need to be encouraged anymore. There's a da'wat on, everybody loves that da'wat. So nobody needs to give him a big bayan beforehand. You know what, there'll be this served there and that served there, so will you come? He's there before the time also. Because he knows what it's all about. So that is the love for food. A person has a love for his business. Nobody has to encourage him in the morning that look, though it is cold today and it is snowed in the bergs and the winds are going to be coming, it's going to get even colder. So doesn't matter, don't worry. You'll be okay, you still go to work. He said, I don't need any of your encouragement. I'm already ready. Because that love for that wealth is propelling him. So the love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, where the person is propelled forward by that inner love, he doesn't need to be pulled from outside. This month of Ramadan has come to bring this love within us, to increase this love in us, so that we now are moved forward by ourselves. So nevertheless, this month of Ramadan has come to grant us this. And in this regard, this is a very, very important time of the year, this month of Ramadan. How we will spend it will determine what happens the rest of the year. Ulama Ikram state that how a person spends his Friday, his Jumu'ah, that will determine how the rest of his week goes. If he spent his day of Jumu'ah with great care in terms of all the sunnats, he took a ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, put on his good clothes, best clothes, put itar, came early to the masjid, listened attentively to the khutbah, engaged himself in excessive recitation of Durood Sharif. He recited Suratul Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah. Between Asr and Maghrib, he dedicated time in dua, especially in that time, the other times of the day as well. And he was very concerned about spending the day of Jumu'ah correctly, fulfilling all the etiquettes of Jumu'ah. Such a person, the rest of his week also will go in a similar way. With great care, that I must now be concerned about performing my salah correctly. I must be there before time. I must get my salah with Takbir-e-Ula. He'll be concerned about, like he read Suratul Kahf on Jumu'ah, he'll get tawfiq of reading Quran Sharif the rest of the week also. As he engaged himself in Durood Sharif on Jumu'ah, he'll get the tawfiq for the rest of the week also. And in this way, the rest of the ibadat. So the relationship of Jumu'ah with the whole week, that is the effect of the month of Ramadan on the whole year. How a person spends his Ramadan, that will affect his year. And he spent his Ramadan with great care, spent it to try and gain the maximum of the noor of ibadat. He kept himself away from all the sins. And he tried to increase his love of Allah Ta'ala to the maximum. In the rest of the year, inshallah, this will go on the increase also. And if the person spent the month of Ramadan carelessly, then Allah forbid, this will have a negative impact on the rest of his year also. And this is something that we should always be very, very concerned about. Every ibadat for that matter. Every ibadat either takes a person closer to Allah Ta'ala or takes him further away from Allah Ta'ala. Person performs salah, and that salah was performed correctly, then this raises his ranks tremendously. And if that salah was performed haphazardly, then that salah in the hadith, it comes barely raises above his head, and then it's flung back at him like a dirty rag. And then the salah says to him, دَيَّعَتَ اللَّهَ كَمَا دَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you as you have destroyed me. The salah became a means of his destruction. Can you imagine if Allah Ta'ala, if somebody's salah is cursing him, what is left? A person is reciting Quran Sharif. On every ayat, he's getting so many rewards. But yet in the Hadith Sharif, it comes that some person, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. Many a person recites the Quran, and in the same moment, the Quran Sharif is cursing him. Person is reciting the Quran Sharif. What a great ibadat. And especially the month of Ramadan, this is the time when the Quran should be completely, every moment we should be trying to dedicate to Quran Sharif. But unfortunately, sometimes a person is reciting Quran Sharif, and the Quran Sharif, the Hadith Sharif is saying, is cursing him. The person has indulged or engaged himself in various sins, and he's making no tawbah from it. He hasn't repented from it. He's not even concerned about repenting from it. And now he goes on reciting the same ayat of the Quran Sharif, that where the ayat come, Allah Ta'ala curses the zalimeen. Now he's reading that, he's committing oppression himself, and he is not even making tawbah from that oppression, and now he's incursing the curse of Allah Ta'ala on himself by reading that ayat. And in this way, various other ayats. So similarly, the month of Ramadan, on the one hand, we know the virtues well. But the other side is that very famous hadith that we have heard on numerous occasions. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and then he stood on the mimbar, on the first step he said, Ameen. On the second step he said, Ameen. On the third step he said, Ameen. And then he came down. The hadith that we know well, the crux of which, the point we want to make is, when Sahaba asked that, what was it all about? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jibreel Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made three du'as. Three bad du'as. And I said, Ameen. And one of those three du'as was, that ba'uda man adraka ramadana falam yughfar lah. That may that person be destroyed who got the month of Ramadan but failed to gain his forgiveness. By refraining from, he failed to gain his forgiveness by not engaging in what he was supposed to do, by not refraining from what he was supposed to refrain from, he still continued life like nothing happened. So the Ramadan now became a means of his further destruction. So any case, this is this Mubarak month, and this is what we have to achieve. We have to achieve the noor of ibadat also. We have to get our brick lining sorted out. We have to gain this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And in this regard, one hadith sharif of Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, which was recited at the beginning, which is actually a prescription for life. But if especially in the month of Ramadan, we can bring these three things in our life, then inshallah this prescription for life will become very easy. This is something which applies all the time, it's not restricted to Ramadan. But if we can gain these three things and bring this within us in this Mubarak month, then inshallah the rest of the year and the rest of our life will become very easy to practice on it. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, he says, I met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I asked him, man najat. May Allah Ta'ala bless the Sahaba ikram. May Allah Ta'ala raise their position and status. That by asking these questions, they open the doorways of hidayat for us. That they made the road so clear for us. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being asked this question. Man najat. O Nabi of Allah, what is the means of gaining salvation, gaining safety? From what? Primarily what it refers to is safety and salvation from the azab of Jahannam, from the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. But it even includes in that safety from many of the problems of this world also. And maybe most of it. Primarily it refers to the akhirat. But we'll get saved from many of the problems of this world as well. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Jawami'ul Kalim. In few concise words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will give off a whole ocean of knowledge. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned three very simple things for us to remember. And as we said, this is for life. But if we can bring this in our lives, in this Mubarak month at least, then inshallah we'll see the benefit throughout our life.
So as we said, this is season time. So we should be exerting ourselves, that little bit extra effort to do the more that we can, to do what we're supposed to do. And inshallah, we'll see the benefit the whole year and the whole life. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him three things. The first he said was, Amlik alayka lisanak. Now he's asking for the way of salvation, the way of safety. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. That this tongue can be a means of great rahmat, and it can be a means of great azab as well. This tongue can take a person to the heights, and the same tongue can drop him to the lowest of the low. The same tongue, a kafir uses it and he expresses the kalima, and we now treat him as our brother. And Allah forbid a person utters some words of kufr and he loses iman with the same tongue. The same tongue a person says, Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, and a woman who was haram on him has become his lawful wife. And in the same tongue, in a moment of anger, in a fit of rage, he issues talaq three times, and that wife who was his bosom companion for years has become totally estranged from him for life now. This tongue can create a friend, and it can make an enemy of the closest friend. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is giving this prescription. Amlik alayka lisanak. And especially in this month of Ramadan, many a person who unfortunately engages in some other vices out of the month of Ramadan. Maybe a person is gambling, he stops gambling in Ramadan. Person is indulging in intoxicants, the month of Ramadan comes. Out of respect for the month of Ramadan, he says, I'm not going to do this anymore for this month at least. No, that is not the correct thing to do, that a person puts his at least in the end. It should be forever. But this much too is at least something that we say, Alhamdulillah, one step is there that he's got respect for the month of Ramadan. He says, I'm not going to indulge in this Mubarak month. Person stops various other crimes, various other sins. But Allah forbid that this tongue, the sins of this tongue are such that even those who stay away from other sins out of Ramadan also, in the month of Ramadan and sometimes in the house of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes in front of Baytullah, in front of the Kaaba Sharif, a person is in front of Roza Mubarak, a person is in all the Mubarak places sometimes. Sometimes it's the 27th night of Ramadan too, but the sins of the tongue sometimes don't stop. The ghibat carries on, the lying sometimes carries on. So therefore this is such a crucial thing. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning it on the top of the list. And this is the prescription to najat. Can you imagine? The question is being posed not to just somebody today. The question is being posed to that personality who had seen what is the reality. Who spoke with wahi. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. What he spoke was direct inspiration of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he is saying on the top of the list, you want to be safe in the akhirat and even in this world, then control your tongue. جِسْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. This tongue, its size is very small, but the harm it can cause is very big. That is why it said that this must be controlled like how an expert driver, how he controls the steering. Very, very well he controls it so that he doesn't go a little bit off the track as well. And if he doesn't control that steering properly, and he just starts swerving and waving here and there, then he's going to damage his car, he's going to hurt himself, he'll kill others in the process also. So likewise the tongue, the person has to keep complete control over it and steer it correctly. Otherwise, he'll harm others, he'll harm himself also. So this tongue of great importance, Amlik alayka lisanak. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, control the tongue, what we say. And all the time to make this muraqabah. In the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever word a person utters, angel is there ready to record it. So to keep thinking about this from time to time, what have I spoken? What got recorded? What is going to be opened out in front of me on the day of Qiyamah? So this tongue will keep, when you keep control over it, even the akhirat will be saved from many things, even this dunya also. How we'll get saved in this dunya? One great alim who had come many times over country, passed away many years back from India, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali of Geshwar, he once gave one example of one person. He got married, and alhamdulillah, initially everything went very well. But after some time, suddenly there became some very negative situation, all the time problem, quarreling, disputing, and it became so severe now that it was on the brink of collapse. So, he said, well, what has happened here, as happens unfortunately in these things, then the first target, well, somebody made some jadu. These things are reality, jinn, jadu is all reality, but that is the first excuse also. This is definitely some jadu. It can be anything in the world, but it's jadu. So they said, well, definitely some jadu has happened here now. So just in that time, some person had come along, very pious person. Somebody said to this woman, that your marriage is almost on the brink of collapse. Somebody has made some big jadu. There's a very big alim has come. Maybe go and get some taweez from him. Because taweez is a fix it all. Whereas the biggest taweez is, the person saves himself from sins. That is the biggest taweez. That is what will bring the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. That is what will bring the protection from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And together with that, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught, those things to recite, which are the means of protection, the three quls, morning and evening, etc., which we are familiar with, these are the things which are the biggest taweez. So in any case, now she went, she said, this is a story. So he questioned her, and as he found out the details, he worked out exactly where this jadu came from. So he told her, look, I'm going to give you a very big taweez. And he said, you bring a bottle of water, and I will read in it, and then I will tell you what to do with it. So she brought the bottle of water, he read and blew into it, and he said, well, you take this along, and now what you do is, when your husband comes home, just before he can enter the house, you know what time is coming. Just before he enters the house, you take one sip of this water. But, at least for half an hour, make sure it stays in your mouth. Don't swallow it. Don't spit it out. Just keep it in your mouth. You take one good sip of water, but don't swallow it. Don't spit it out. Just keep it in your mouth. After half an hour, then you can swallow it or do whatever you wish. So very good. Very big alim. Very great person. And he gave a taweez, so now, taweez is the fix it all, as we said. So now she started practicing on it. He said, after 15 days, you come back and tell me what happened. So after 15 days, she came. She said, alhamdulillah, there's been a tremendous change in everything. Everything has turned for the better. So he said, well, another bottle for another 15 days. So what happened was, what was the taweez all about? The problem was that the husband was coming home tired, number one, so he was already, his temperature was high. And she, as soon as he walks in, the whole day's karguzari of all the negatives. Something that happened with the mother-in-law, immediately that's at the top of the list. Something happened with the sister-in-law, that's on the top of the list. And whatever else, something broke and something didn't work out, the whole story of all the negatives she starts off before he even takes one breath. So already his temperature is already at a high. So he's, let's go accordingly. And as a result, this was becoming an intolerable situation. Now when that water is stuck in the mouth, what is she going to speak? So by the time half an hour has passed, he has also had his meals or whatever the case is, he's calmed down. In the meantime, she's calmed down as well. So already the tongue was under control, the whole problem came right. That was the biggest jadu. So this is how we will even get saved from many a problem in this dunya also. That a person keeps his tongue under control. Therefore, we have to think before we speak. As they say in Urdu, pehle tol, phir bol. First weigh it. What I'm going to say, what is the impact of it? What is going to be the consequence of it? The immediate consequence. The short term, the long term. Think three times. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, where the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, he translated it in a very unique way. He said, soch kar bol, or bol kar soch. Sochkar bolo aur bolkar socho. The thing before you speak and after you have spoken, think again. Before you speak, think what I'm going to say. And after you've spoken, think again. What I've said, is it correct? Is it the right thing to have said? Or is there something to now adjust and rectify? So this is the first prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. Amlik alayka lisanak. And especially in this Mubarak month, we will, alhamdulillah, save ourselves from many things, but if we don't keep control of this tongue, we'll lose all the things we gain. All the ibadat we gain will get lost via this tongue. Hazrat Maulana Umar Palampuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says his mother used to say to them, when they were little children, this was a form of tarbiyat, he used to say to them that, look, if you ever want to make ghibat of anybody, then you make ghibat of me. Now, which person in his right mind is ever going to make ghibat of his mother? Every human being has some weaknesses. Though he might know certain weaknesses about his mother also, but any person in his right mind is going to make ghibat about his mother. So she used to say to them that if you want to make ghibat of anybody, you make ghibat of me. Because nobody has done more for you than your mother. So if you want to give your rewards to anybody, I'm most deserving of it. Don't give it to anybody else. This was a very effective way of saying, don't ever make ghibat. You're not going to make ghibat of your mother, don't make ghibat of anybody else also. In any case, this was the first prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, amlik alayka lisanak. The second thing he mentioned, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your house be sufficient for you. Let your house be sufficient for you, spacious enough for you. We find that, as we explained, that this is not something restricted to Ramadan, this is for all times. But a person remains indoors, he'll get saved from many of the fitnas outside. And especially in the times that we live, where everything outside is, every step a person takes is being dragged towards fitna. Every billboard is inviting him to fitna. Every poster is taking towards haram. And the environment is all supercharged with fitna and fasad. So in such a situation, a person remains indoors, he'll get saved from many things. And as we said, that this is, while it is applicable for all times, at least this month of Ramadan, we practice on this. That we stay indoors. This outdoor culture, where person barely can sit a few minutes in the house, and then he gets claustrophobic. The word is so big that barely saying it makes a person claustrophobic also. Now he has to go here and there. Even the month of Ramadan, he can't remain within the four walls of his home making ibadat. Tarawih has finished now, he's come home, but he has to still go out for something, just for the sake of something. One is, there's a need. There's a deeny need, there's a worldly need. A person has to go to do his work. He needs to buy some necessity, he'll go for that. But other than that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us a prescription. This is not from anywhere else. This is from Sahibe Wahi. From the recipient of Wahi. Wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your home be spacious enough for you. No matter how small it might be, let it be spacious enough. That you remain indoors. Otherwise, this will take a person to various fitnas, and whatever he's gaining, he'll lose. Unfortunately, in the month of Ramadan also, everything outside is inviting. Whereas, the bazaars, these are not places for a person to go to loiter around. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the most beloved of all places in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is the masjid. And the most detestable, can we imagine who is saying it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying it. Detestable to who? To Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The most detestable of all places are the marketplaces. Now come the month of Ramadan, person in the name of Eid shopping. Now hours are spent in the most detestable place. And in the process of Eid, we're losing our Ramadan. Whereas Eid in reality is not necessarily new clothes. New clothes is not even the demand or the requirement. The requirement is a person wears the best clothes he owns. That is the sunnah of Eid. If somebody has something new also, no problem. There's no prohibition on that. But a person is losing his Ramadan for the sake of new clothes of Eid. Hours of Ramadan are gone. Whereas, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, this couplets are attributed to him. He said, لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدُ إِنَّمَا الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ أَمِنَ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ. Eid is not, the reality of Eid is not for the person who has worn new clothes. New clothes the mu'min wears also. New clothes even the worst atheist can wear and wears. That itself doesn't make it Eid. Eid in reality is for that person who has gained safety from the warnings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he has taken his iman and gone. He has gone in a way that Allah ta'ala is pleased with him. That is Eid. And those sitting in this masjid, we have seen what it means to be Eid when a person goes. How Allah ta'ala takes a person who has spent his life making it Eid. How Allah ta'ala takes him in front of Baytullah in that manner where every person, his heart is just, I wish I can have this kind of moth as well. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows it sometimes to us. What is the reality of Eid? That is Eid. Merely wearing new clothes itself, no harm in it. But not at the expense of Ramadan. And not at the expense of whiling away hours. And unfortunately, the month of Ramadan comes as more bazaars. Special bazaars for Ramadan. Whereas we should be now cutting down all these things to the bare minimum, to the extent of total necessity. So let the home be spacious enough for you. Wal yasa'ka baytuk. When a person will stay indoors, he'll get saved from many fitnas. Yes, there's some dini work, there's some dini necessity, or there's some worldly necessity. Then he goes out. As soon as he's done his work, he's back. So this was the second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. But on the same note, we have to keep in mind as well, unfortunately nowadays, indoors also we have to be very careful. Because many of the outdoors have now become indoors as well, just maybe in a little different form. On the internet, on that phone, and all these things, unfortunately has brought many of the fitnas of outside inside. Many years ago, where a person had to think maybe 20 times, and plan 50 times before he can do one of these harams, now at the press of the button, he's doing it inside his home. So while staying indoors is important, but indoors also we have to foster the right environment. Make sure indoors is correct as well. So this was the second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned to him, wal yasa'aka baytuk. And the third thing Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, wabki ala khati'atik. As we mentioned, this is a specific aspect of the month of Ramadan. And for all our life. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said to him, wabki ala khati'atik, cry over your sins. Keep asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Cry over your sins and get your sins forgiven. As we mentioned in that hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi stood on the minbar and said, Ameen. This was the baddu'a Jibreel Sallallahu Alaihi made. Ba'uda man adraka ramadana falam yughfar lah. May that person be destroyed who got the month of Ramadan, falam yughfar lah. But he failed to gain his forgiveness. Crying over our sins. Making sincere istighfar. Making sincere tawbah. Asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. This crying over our sins. This is something should have been part of a mu'min's life. The great Ahlullah, we find that everything reminded them about their sins. And they cried over it. Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, once somebody brought a roasted chicken in front of her and presented it to her as a gift. Those who have akhirat in front of them, they take a lesson from everything. Everything gives them a lesson. We're talking about crying over our sins. The lesson we can take even from a newborn baby. A newborn baby also gives us this lesson. And the child cannot speak anything yet, cannot express anything. The child can't say what its needs are. But now the child has best itself. It requires to be clean. So what it does? All it does is it cries. But as soon as it cries, then it can be in the middle of the coldest night. But that cry of the child will move the love of that mother to sacrifice her sleep and to do whatever is necessary to now clean the child and make the child comfortable and clean him up completely. That is merely the cry of the child that brought this up. Nothing else. So we are talking about cleaning ourselves. We have messed ourselves with all these sins, all the haram, all the evil, by getting ourselves immersed in the fitna and fasad, our crying to Allah Ta'ala will bring down His rahmat. Allah Ta'ala is that being who has given that mother that mercy. That mother has one minute fraction of that mercy that Allah Ta'ala has given. And that mercy moves her to give up her sleep and to see to every need of the child. Our crying will get the cleanliness of our sins from Allah Ta'ala. So that child also gives us that lesson. Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, somebody came and put forward a roasted chicken in front of her as a gift. So she saw it and started crying. So the person was amazed that you're crying, what had happened. So she said, well, I looked at this and it reminded me, it made me think that what a fortunate thing this bird is, that it was first slaughtered, zabah was made, and then it was roasted. It was first slaughtered, life was gone, and then it was roasted. If my sins don't get forgiven, I'll be roasted alive in the fire of Jahannam. That is what has made me cry. Al-mar'u idha kanat lahu fikratun, fafi kulli shay'in lahu ibratun. If a person has fikr, he has concern, he'll take a lesson from everything. So crying over our sins, asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and making the sincere tawbah as well. There's two separate things. One is istighfar, seeking forgiveness. And there's so many virtues for this. One very simple formula of istighfar, which my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim, Mawlana Akhtar Sahab Daun Barakatuhum, he teaches this, that this is a very concise and comprehensive formula of istighfar. Apart from this, any of the other formulas of istighfar that we know and we want to recite, but a very simple formula, Rabbi Ighfir Warham Wa Anta Khairul Rahimin. Oh my Rabb, forgive me. Warham, and have mercy upon me. On the one side, this is be begging Allah Ta'ala for His forgiveness, and together with that, for His mercy. And what is this mercy all about? So it explains that there are various things included in this. The first thing that is included in warham is tawfiqe ta'ad. The ability to do righteous actions, and to give up sins. So we are asking for that as well. Because this is a great rahmat from Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this dua. Oh Allah, have mercy on me by giving me the ability to give up sin. That is a great rahmat. Our concept of rahmat sometimes is only restricted to wealth. That too is rahmat if it comes with barakat. But otherwise, this is the greater rahmat, that a person gives up disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. The second thing is that his sustenance will be increased. That is rahmat, with barakat. The third thing, دخول jannat bila hisab. The third thing, maghfirat bila hisab. That he will be forgiven without being taken to account. And the fourth thing, دخول jannat. That he will enter jannat. Now, such great things are being asked for in the simple word, warham. So istighfar, excessive istighfar. And this is something we should do throughout our life, every day of our life. No day should go without istighfar. There's such great benefits mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala promises, يُرْسِلُ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, make istighfar. Allah Ta'ala will send down rains to you. Allah Ta'ala will give you offspring. Allah Ta'ala will grant you wealth. Allah Ta'ala will give you strength. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. All these are benefits of istighfar mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathira. The glad tidings to that person who finds in his book of deeds a great amount of istighfar. But together with that, what is required is sincere tawbah. That a person resolves that I'm not going to go back to these sins again. And he feels that remorse, that regret. And if it pertains to the rights of people, he fulfills those rights as well. So these were the three things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave as the prescription to najat, the prescription to salvation. That how a person can gain salvation from the azab of the hereafter, how he can save himself from the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and how he will get saved from many of the difficulties and problems of this world as well. So these were the three things, amlik alayka lisanak, that control your tongue. And وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ,
that your home be spacious enough for you.
Let it be sufficient.
Unnecessarily don't go outdoors.
Whatever is necessary, fine, that is to the extent of necessity. Other than that, remain indoors. Indoors in the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, indoors in our homes.
And the third thing Nabi Islam said, well, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ, cry over your sins. Alhamdulillah, this lesson also, in this masjid especially, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi has taught us this message.
And year in and year out, the Ramadans that Allah Ta'ala blessed to be in His company, we've learned how to spend the Ramadan. Let us now keep this up. This is that sawab-e-jariya and that sadaqah-e-jariya that we will have to now keep up with.
So this is a lesson, these are lessons for life that were given to us. We have to maintain these lessons, keep up with it.
And this is what will pass happiness to the ruh. And this is what will give that happiness to those who have gone beyond us.
So this Mubarak month, as we said, that this is something not restricted to this month, but at least in this month we practice on it.
Inshallah, we'll find it will stay with us after this Mubarak month has gone also. This will enable us to gain that noor of the month of Ramadan, that noor of Hidayat. It will get our breaks in order as well. And our muhabbat for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will increase. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq as well. And bless all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا نداما ولا مفتونين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. إله العالمين يا الله هم گنہگار خطاکار مجرم. إله العالمين يا الله ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما. يا الله کبائر صغائر سب کو معاف فرما. إله العالمين يا الله, يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله. إله العالمين in this مبارك month of Ramadan, enable us to engage ourselves in the way that you are happy with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from wasting even a single moment in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you forgive the entire Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are suffering, remove their hardships and difficulties, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, accept all the ibadat of every person in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our fast a means of getting closer to you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make this month of Ramadan a means of our complete forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us your complete, Ya Allah, forgiveness, Ya Allah. Grant us your love, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the love of Deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from every haram, Ya Allah. Save us from every vice and sin, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, keep us steadfast on Deen, Ya Allah. Till our last moment, keep us on Deen, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, take us with Iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the good of this world and the hereafter, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you safeguard us from all the fitna and fasad. Ilahul Alameen, safeguard every believer, Ya Allah, from all the fitna and fasad that is surrounding us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you keep us with Iman, take us with Iman, and raise us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.